How many times do we give instructions? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. How many times do we give instructions? Well, it seems that from our childhood and our parenthood and so forth, we have been told time and time again to do different things. We have been told how to do what we should do. We should pick up our clothing. We should put things away. We should do all the things that are right and just and good. And this is what we should do. Now, how often have we been told to do that? Well, numerous times, of course. We've been told to do it again and again and again. And as we're told to do it, we pay no attention. And the more times we're told to do it, the less time we pay attention to it. Until finally, we just ignore everything that we're told to do. And how beautiful that is. How absolutely beautiful that is, that we ignore doing the things that we are told to do. Now, what kind of a child would we be if we were ignoring the things that we were told to do? What kind of a child would we be if we were ignoring the things that were important for us to do? What kind of a child would we be? Well, the kind of child that we would be a child that would never experience training from one source or another. It happens so often here at the monastery that I will say something to one of our people, and I will say, please do this, or do that, or come here, or go there, or whatever I will ask him to do, and believe it or not, they pay no attention to it. They pretend that what I'm saying to them is absolutely of no importance whatsoever, and that what I'm saying to them is just a casual comment that is passed off to the wind and certainly not something that should be carried out. And so I say it once, and then I don't say it again. And then oftentimes they'll come to me and they'll say, well, why don't you tell me these things? Why don't you show me these things? Why don't you teach me these things? And I say, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. I give you the opportunity to have great experiences, and you ignore the opportunity. You ignore me giving you that opportunity. No, you don't. Yes, I do. Did I tell you to take the dishes to the sink by themselves and take the cutlery to the sink by itself? Yeah, you always say that. Is that interesting? Huh? I always say that. Why would I always say that? Well, I have no idea. Well, that's as good an answer as any. You have no idea. And of course, you do have no idea. You don't realize that you are being trained to follow instructions and to follow them now, to follow them right this minute, not to follow them in some later time or not to follow them at your leisure or when you get around to it, but to follow it right now. But I was doing something else. That's right. You were doing something else. And what you were doing was tremendously important. What you were doing was something that was so vitally, dynamically important that you had to carry it through right then, that minute. And if you didn't carry it through right then, that minute, then everything would fall apart and nothing would be in order at all. Well, you make it sound terrible. Well, no, I don't make it sound terrible. It is terrible. The terrible thing is that you have the opportunity of living your life in a very beautiful, dynamic, powerful, forceful, wonderful way if you choose. Or you have the opportunity of living your life in a very limited way if you choose. But why is it so important that I follow your instructions and that I do? Well, why are you here at the monastery? Why are you here at the University of Healing? Why are you here at all in this activity if you do not want to follow the instructions that we give you here? Why are you here? Well, I'm here well, what are you here for? I'm here to walk my spiritual path. Okay, now, what is your spiritual path? Well, that's a good question. I've often wondered that. Well, perhaps you should wonder a little more thoroughly. What is your spiritual path? Your spiritual path is to be master of yourself. Your spiritual path is to be self-disciplined to the point that whenever you speak your word, that word instantly is manifest into an action in your life. Now, is that what takes place in your world? No. Why doesn't it take place in your world? Well, I don't know. Well, it doesn't take place in your world because you have not yet learned how to discipline yourself. You have not yet learned how to be self-disciplined. And to be in self-discipline starts out often with someone else guiding you onto the path of self-discipline. And as you're being guided onto this path of self-discipline, you come into the awareness of disciplining yourself. When a parent tells a child to clean up their room, and the child doesn't do it, and doesn't do it, and doesn't do it, and the parent does it for the child, then what happens for the child? Well, virtually nothing. No benefit at all. Well, the child will eventually learn certain things. That's right. The child will eventually learn certain things, but meanwhile it's going to go through many trials, many tribulations, many difficulties, many circumstances that are going to make it feel very uncomfortable with itself. Yeah, but yeah, that's right. You see, this is the type of thing that we do to ourselves. This is the type of thing that we say to ourselves, and we tell ourselves again and again and again. And the reason that we tell ourselves this again and again and again is that we just don't want to take responsibility. If parents could teach children to instantly follow directions from childhood on, what a wonderful gift that would be for the child. Now, parents can't do that because parents were not taught to do that. Parents were not taught to be disciplined by their parents. And the reason that they were not taught to be disciplined by their parents is that their parents had never been disciplined themselves. You see, this goes on and on and on and on. And it will always go on and on and on. Now, when will it stop? When will we get some benefit from it? When will we arrive at the point where it is something beneficial to us? When will we get to that point? Well, we will get to that point when we start to self-discipline ourselves. Do you do everything in an orderly manner? Do you look at your life and say to yourself, this is what I consider a beneficial thing? And as a beneficial thing, do you put things in order? As a beneficial thing, do you tell yourself that it is well to have order in my life, that I put my clothes away? When I take them off, I put them away. When I get done wearing anything, I immediately put them away. I don't just lay them out on a chair or have them so I can have them more convenient for you. Every moment I do anything, I do it as though it's the final moment. Everything I do as though it's the final moment. This is self-discipline. This is the training of myself to be master of who I am, to be master of all the circumstances in my life. And as I do that, I little by little gain this great talent, this great ability to speak my word once and have it be done. To speak my word once and have it be done. To speak my word once and have it be done. We wonder why we cannot say I'm whole and perfect and not be whole and perfect instantly. We haven't trained ourselves to speak our word once and have it be done. We can train ourselves to do these things in the little things that we do. Sometimes we look at ourselves, we consider ourselves a pack rat because we're saving so many things and we're keeping so many things. But can you be orderly? Can you put things away? Can you instantly put everything away when you're done using it? Can you instantly put your clothing away when you're done using it? If they belong in the hamper for washing, then you put them there. If they belong to be hung up in the closet, you put them there. Well, I'm going to wear them later today. Well, meanwhile, your room looks very untidy because your clothing is lying all over your room. Oh, that's my business. That's right, that's your business. Now, where are you going to train yourself to be self-disciplined? I cannot train you to be self-disciplined. I can encourage you to be self-disciplined, but the act of self-discipline has to come from within yourself. Now, are you interested in having this act of self-discipline take place within you? Are you interested in that? Do you really want that to happen? And if you do, then what are you going to do about it? Well, what you're going to do about it is you're going to say, today I am self-disciplined. In everything that I do, I act self-disciplined. In everything that I think self-disciplined. I do not think one thought and then think its contrary. I do not think one thought and then think an absolute change in that thought. I am consistent in my thinking. I think one thought, well, I have a right to change my mind. That's right. And as often as you change your mind, that's as often as you are being inconsistent. Now, but I've got to be able to change my mind. That's just fine. But when are you going to arrive at the point where you're going to be so one-pointed on whatever point you're making that that is the most important thing in the world? When will you get there? When will you arrive at that point? I had a rule on campus, for me at least, that I would watch maybe one video a week on a Saturday night. And then I began stretching it to having Hogan's Heroes every night of the week, and having Flying Nun on other nights of the week, and having movies on Friday night, and a movie on Saturday night, and a movie on Sunday night that we buy from the video store. And that was not my intention at all. But I was just pushing to see how far the group would go in being contrary to the program of the campus here. The program of the campus is not to watch videos. It's not to watch them, but it's not to watch videos. If there is a good video, we can watch it, certainly, but we are not here to watch videos. We are not here to be entertained. We are here to listen to our divine inner self and be entertained by that, if you call that entertainment. And my goodness, is that a wonderful entertainment. But what are we here for? And when we get movies, if the movie is not satisfactory to any of us, have we the privilege to get up and leave without saying anything? Or why did we have that movie? Why did we create that movie being shown in the first place if it was something that's not satisfactory to us? Do we have to explain our reasons for anything? If we're in a group and the group is doing something that is not harmonious for us, we leave. If we're in an activity and that activity is doing something that's not harmonious for us, we do not participate in it. No matter what goes on in our world, we are always the master. No matter what goes on in our world, we are always the one who makes the choice of what it is that we want to do. How strong are you in making that decision? If I say to you, when you go to the kitchen, please only take those things that belong there. Please only take those things that you're supposed to take. Do not carry all of the dishes at once to the kitchen when you're going in the kitchen. And so you say to me, well, I can do what I want to do. That's right, you can. And I will not say it again. I say to you, if you just carry the cutlery separate from the dishes, you won't drop things. But when you carry them together, generally you drop something, often a dish, often the cutlery. And it's not that I have to explain to you, damn it, don't do that. All I say to you is, take the cutlery separate from the dishes. And please build that as a habit within yourself for your benefit. I shouldn't have to say, this is my will, because it's not my will. I really have no interest whatsoever of you learning to be self-confident, of you learning to be self-disciplined. I have no interest whatsoever. If you have an interest, oh, I'm right there. I'm right there at your side. If you have no interest, I am a million miles away. In fact, I'm a million miles away from anyone who does not choose to work the programs that we teach here at the university. Here at the Absolute Monastery, we have no rules. The only rule is, if I tell you to do something, you do it, period. And if you don't like that, then you go away. And if you do like it, wow, it won't be long before you demonstrate to yourself and the world what a master you are. It's kind of exciting, isn't it? Think about it. Think about applying this wherever you may be. Everyone doesn't live in the absolute monastery, although they all live in the absolute monastery of their own individual being. But everyone has the opportunity to develop self-discipline, to develop self-confidence, to develop the self-awareness of the divine within them. Do you want to do it? Then you have to start with yourself. Do you want to do it? Then you begin disciplining your ways. You don't put off what you can do tomorrow. You don't leave aside what should be done this very moment. And yet you don't make yourself so manipulated by this moment that you cannot ignore something at any time that you choose to and not be inhibited by it. Where do you stand on this road to the magic, on this road to your spiritual revelation? Where do you stand? Well, as far as I'm concerned, you stand right at the top. You stand right at the top of that road, right with me, looking at all the world and looking at it from the point of view that all is good and very good. And so I say to you, all is good and very good. And I love you. I love you. I love you.